sweep me away. Amen. No place like the love of the Father. Amen. In His loving arms we live. He said, in Him we live and move and have our being. Glory to God. In Him. In Him. Amen. Thank God it's not of ourselves. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not of the flesh. But in Him, in Christ Jesus. In that place with the Father that He had prepared for us. Hallelujah. Through Jesus Christ, we get to receive of that love. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. God's good. And He's faithful. Well, I think that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Hallelujah. I was talking a couple weeks ago about believing that you receive when you pray. How many remember that? How many knows where that is? It's in Mark 11. Turn there for us if we will. We'll start there tonight and we'll pray and see if we can go a little bit further. What do we need to know if we're going to believe we receive when we pray? We talked about it, that the first thing was we ought to know God's will, didn't we? We were talking primarily, I used healing because it attacks many of us, but it affects any area of our life, whether it be revival, whether it be, you know, a relationship, whatever it is. When we find God's word, we find His will, and we can then begin to stand, and we have concrete ground based on His word, not upon our experience, right? Because how many know if we base your life on experience, you're going to be all over the map, aren't you? You're going to be like that wave that's tossed to and fro. Okay? You're not going to receive anything from the Lord. But when we see that, the first thing is that we know it's God's will. We know it's God's will. And we said that we know it's God's will to heal all, didn't we? We found that out. We went back into the Old Testament. And we took a look at the brazen serpent, didn't we? We saw that in Numbers 21, 4 through 9. And then in John 3, Jesus referred to it. John 3, 14 and 15. Just before the famous verse of John 3, 16, didn't he? And it said in John chapter 3, I'll read that real quick. I'm just refreshing our memories a minute. John 3, 14 and 15. And as Moses, it said, was lifted up, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have eternal life. So we saw there that Jesus likened Himself to the brazen serpent. Therefore, we can conclude that any and all who have sinned, when they look to Jesus, can be forgiven. Any and all. And they were also, what? Healed as they looked upon Him. Because they had gotten into rebellion. They were rebelling against Moses. They were saying, Moses, who put you in charge? And Moses said, God did. When we looked at the Passover lamb, didn't we? And we saw that the Passover lamb was another type where anyone that put the blood on the doorposts, God passed over that house. Now that was fair because, you know, you realize the Egyptians could have taken a lamb and done the same thing and saved their children. Just like any man that's not born again, if they'll receive Jesus, they're going to be forgiven too, aren't they? They're going to be able to step in and begin to partake of what Jesus has already provided. Hallelujah. That was a fair deal. God healed them all. We saw it there, and then of course we went to Psalm 105 and you saw that there was not one sick among them. Okay? We took a look at the commands of Jesus, what Jesus said. Hallelujah. We saw that because of what Jesus said, we can know that it's God's will to heal all. What did He say? He said, I do only those things that I see my Father say and do. What did He say to the 12. He says, you go and heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. Freely you've received, freely give. What did he say to the 70? Go forth and heal. What did he say to the church? You go and lay hands on the sick because of what Jesus said. Okay? We saw also what Jesus did. Hallelujah. His actions. And we read the, I'll give them to you again. Matthew 4, 23 and 24. Jesus healed them all. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. Matthew 9, 35. Matthew 14, 14. Jesus healed them all. So we saw that it was in the type of the Old Testament under the brazen serpent. When we saw the Passover lamb that was slain, they placed the blood upon the doorpost. They were safe. We see the words that Jesus gave. He said, I only do that which I hear and see my Father do, so we can trust His words. He's showing the mind of the Father. So then He began to give those commands. Hallelujah. And then we saw it in the redemptive plan of God. Hallelujah. So we had sure foundation. We see it, in our famous scripture, 1 Peter 53, 3 through 5. Jesus bore the sickness, didn't He? He carried that pain. By His stripes ye were healed, Isaiah was saying. Isaiah, and if you look over into Matthew 8, 16, it says, this fulfilled what Isaiah said. He fulfilled it. And then 1 Peter 2, 24, what did He say? We're forgiven of the sins, and by His stripes we are healed. We see that these foundations, this Word of God gave us that concrete foundation, because we said that over in Hebrews 11, 6, it says, he that comes to God must believe that He, what, is, right? That He is, not that He was. A lot of people believe Jesus was. Well, Jesus did the healer. He's the healer. He healed those people then so that we would know that God loves us. I don't know what the reason is, really, to be honest. It's kind of pathetic. Because if He did it then, He's the same now. And it says we have a better covenant based upon better promises, then He's the same today. He said, I change not. He said, I am God. God doesn't change. He doesn't change His mind. He doesn't decide, I'm going to heal you today, I might not heal you tomorrow. But He said, no, I healed all. I provided an eternal covenant for you, which is based upon the promises that I have given you and what God has said, based upon His word, not upon experience. Well, so-and-so died when I prayed. Well, we've got to go and say, Lord, help me to continue to press, because I know it's Your will. I know it is His will. But what did they believe? See, I had a good friend of mine, and I knew in my heart, I'm not saying he didn't believe. To a degree, he believed, but then sometimes people just quit. I knew it. I said, sometimes people are saying the right thing with their mouth, but in the heart, they just stop the fight. I'm tired of fighting. I'm going to go home. They might not say that to you. Sometimes they just stop the fight. That's what God was encouraging us tonight. Don't stop the fight. Even though it feels like you're not going through, you're going to make it. Because the Word of God is true. It cannot fail. Because it's settled forever in heaven. And that's our sure foundation. Because faith is that substance. It is that foundation. Hallelujah. The substance of things hoped for. It's that evidence. It's all I need to know. God is my healer. Or God is my provider. God is the one that's going to bring revival to me. And through me. Hallelujah. Based upon what He says. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If we base it upon what everybody else says and upon experience, we're going to be tossed with the wind. That's what he's talking about. Part of what he's talking about. And he says every wind of doctrine. You just start listening to this guy and you listen to that guy. And pretty soon you're confused and you don't know which way to go. So it's good to stay in one place. When God puts you somewhere, if you get hooked up to the message of the prayer center, then listen to it. Do what it says. Don't go out and, what happens is people do that for a while and then they say, well, I think I need to listen to this guy that they heard on TV because it sounds good. Well, you need to look it up in the Word of God. And we need to be more like the Bereans who search the Scriptures daily to see if these things are so. And keep praying in the Holy Ghost and let Him become our teacher so that we're not deceived into the works of the enemy. Because people will come up and tell you some real good things. They'll say, oh, well, God made evil. No, He didn't make evil. Evil came, but God didn't make it. Oh, God's just in charge of everything. No, He's not. God gave authority to man on the earth. Hallelujah. The guy asked me that last night. I was worried. Well, I just think God's just in control of everything, isn't He? I said, no. I don't believe that. I said, if He is, He's not doing a very good job, at least on the earth. I mean, look around, you know. I mean, people are confused. They're broken. They're bound. You know, I've been working down at the day center as a security guard at night, overnight, you know, and so most of the time at the day center, what they do is at 7 o'clock, you can come in to spend the night, women, and then they have women can come in, any women, and then they have men 55 and older. And then they have an exceptions list of about 40 or 50 people, you know, that are younger, you know, than 55. And so I'm there, but, you know, you see all kinds of people. I'm sorry. People need help and they need you. They need you. Keep pressing. Keep standing. You know, there's a lot of people. Some of them are some good people. But they fight the flesh. They're bound to alcohol or, you know, they do good for a while and they disappear and become. So why would anyone want to live in a shelter? Sometimes it boggles my mind. You know, people wait in line to get inside, you know, during the daytime so they can sit at a table and wait till lunch. You know, it kind of reminds me of the prayer center sometimes at night. You know, they're all out on these mats and I'm thinking, you know, if we could get them praying, you know, maybe get some music going. You know, get some praise and worship in here. You know, even if it was just quiet while they're sleeping. You know, it affects people's heart and their spirit. Wow. You know, you've got 100, and we had, I think, 112 people last night. See, it grows through the month. You know, in the end of the month, there'll be like 128, maybe 130. And then the first of the month, they'll drop back down to about 80. You say, well, why? That's when everybody gets paid. They get their government check or whatever. You know, some of them should get it. Some of them are disabled and some people are veterans and things like that. I'm not saying anything against necessarily. But they get their check and I said, well, where do they go? And so I find out, you know, oh, they go and get some alcohol and spend a couple weeks in a motel room. Try to drown their troubles. Then they come back. All their money's gone. God needs you. Remember what Dave said, you know, God, you know, it's not so awesome that we believe in God, but He believes in you. And I know that Pastor Dave said, if God has a handicap, you know, you're it. You know, we're it. You know, our flesh is it, really. We're not it, but our flesh, you know. It tries to draw us back. But praise the Lord. We're not of those that draw back. I'm all right. I just. But there's a lot of broken people in this world. And Tulsa's in revival. And those people are. Sometimes they're not the most pretty. And sometimes they're not the most lovely. And they want to cuss at you. They want to yell at you. You know. But if you're strong in the Lord, why does that bother you? You know, and that's what I, sometimes there's people at work there and I, you know, somebody will say something crazy or the crazy people keep talking to them, you know, it annoys them. I said, why does that annoy, you know, I'm thinking in my mind, why does that annoy them so bad? I just want to slap them sometimes. You know, I said, you do? Well, why? They're crazy. Why do you listen to them? You know, I mean, why would that, you know, affect you? But the Bible says, the insults of those that insult us fall on Him. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, especially when you're the security guard and they want you to throw somebody out, they call the security guard, you know. So I'm supposed to throw them out. And they want to know why. She said, the one lady, she says, well, how come when you told them they left, they didn't leave when I did? I said, I don't argue with them. So what do you mean? I said, I don't argue with them. I just say, ma'am, it's time to leave now. When they put up an argument, I just say, ma'am, it's time to leave now. And I don't argue. You know, and then when you realize the root of the problem, and if somebody's not being obedient, you don't speak to them, you speak what's behind them. In Jesus' name, I said, go. Real quiet, you know. One lady, she wouldn't go. She said, I'm not doing anything you say. I said, in Jesus' name, get out. She got up, walked out. I said, Lord, you make my job so easy. Because I wasn't talking to her. If she doesn't want to release the devil, then she can go with it. But if she releases it, she'll be free. And they'll know how nice she is. Or he, whichever it is. But anyway, I'm trying to get us to see there's a lot of hurting people all around us every day. You know, maybe somebody at your work, somebody at your job, and you know, some people are better at it, you know. They can keep a job and mask all their hurts and pain. Nobody ever knows. They smile. Oh, you seem so happy all the time. And really they're hurting. They're broken. They don't know God's the main thing. You know. You can be broken and know God. You know, people or come to know, at least be saved, you know. At least you're heading toward heaven. Hallelujah. And there's hope. But there's hope for all. If you're one of those that's listening tonight, maybe you are broken. Maybe you're hurting. Maybe you're caught on alcohol or there's something that's not quite right in your life. We know somebody that can help you. So can you help me, Pastor Doug? Can you help me, Brother Doug? Can you help me? I really can't help you, but I know who can help you. And his name is Jesus. I remember this guy one time. I had been at a prayer meeting, and I came home and I was going to my apartment. It's about 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, somewhere in there. And he was outside. He'd been drinking. He's crying. You know, people drink and then they cry because they're depressed. So they drink, which is a depressant, and then they get really depressed. You know, and so he was depressed. And I went home, and he's sitting upstairs there just. If my apartment's here, it's just like around the corner, you know, and he's over there, and I could hear him. He said, oh, can you help me, help me? Can you help me, you know? And I went over, and I didn't know much, so I said, sir, I really can't help you, but I know who can. I said, Jesus can help you. You can be born again. You can know Jesus. Oh, and he got a little upset, and there wasn't many people around, of course, up at that time of night, but I said, shh. Relax, relax, you know. You're all right. You just need Jesus in your life, you know. And he got a little, you know, he was going to hit me. I said, no, he's not. It's all right. You know, he thought he was going to hit me, but he couldn't. He just, ah. This guy kept, you know, the one guy came in. He's going to hit you. He's going to hurt you. I said, no, he's not. It's all right. He can't. It's okay. And even if somebody does hurt you, what does that mean? You know, Jesus shed his blood for me, right? Hallelujah. I'm not advocating that, but if that's what happens, you know, praise the Lord. We're trying to rescue somebody. I said, he'll set you free. Jesus will help you. So I can pray with you, and he can help you. And he got up and just ran somewhere. He went somewhere, ran off. I don't know what happened to him. So I went upstairs, or went back to my apartment. I was trying to get my laundry done, so I went down there and had put it in the washer and went back upstairs, came down and put it in the dryer. And here's this guy standing there. I said, well, did you want help or not? You know? He says, yeah, I do. And I really didn't know what to do, so I just began to pray for him, and I began to pray in the Spirit. And I just, you know, because Dave says, you know, if you don't know what to do, what do? You pray in the Holy Ghost, right? You know, amen. I shouldn't say Dave, but the Word of God says that too. When we don't know how to pray as we ought, the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us and with us, takes hold together with us against what? The enemy of our soul, the enemy that's trying to come against somebody else, the enemy that's trying to take us out of God, what God wants to do. So I just begin to pray in the Spirit, and I don't know, it seemed like a long time, but it was maybe 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. I just praying in the Spirit, and I mean, the craziest thing happened. I never expected it in my life. He just falls flat on the concrete. Boom! Falls out. I said, oh my God. You know, and you're thinking at the time, you know, your mind's going, did he die? You know, did he pass out? No, he went out into the power. I did know that, really. But I was like, wow. Man, God's strong, you know. Everybody says, that was you. No, it wasn't me. It was him. It was him, God, you know. So anyway, he goes out, and I'm thinking, you know, unfortunately, this lady, she came back. She says, oh, you go ahead and pray for him. I'll put your clothes in the dryer for him. Oh, thank you, you know. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. But anyway, he's laying there about, oh, I guess he laid there 5 or 6 minutes or so, and finally he got up and come to, and I said, Well, just pray. You need to receive Jesus. Oh, I received Jesus in my life, and blah, blah, blah. I said, now you can receive the Holy Spirit. You know, he was still kind of drunk, so he starts praying in tongues. Comes up, he starts praying in tongues. Come on, let me. I said, shh. Come on up to my place, you know. So I took him up to my place, you know, to pray with him a little bit more to help him in his prayer language, you know, because he's still kind of loud and a little bit drunk, you know. And he said something to me. Well, those words you were saying, that was something in Spanish. I said, oh, really? You understand Spanish? He says, yeah. You were talking about God and how good he is. And I said, really? Okay. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, sometimes you don't find out about everything right away like that. But anyway, we prayed a little bit, and I, you know, gave him some tapes, you know, on tongues of the believer, and try to encourage him. So, you know, you just keep praying in the Spirit and let the Lord begin to develop that relationship with you so you can be free. We can walk free. You know, and there's some prophecies I know. I haven't looked at them recently, which maybe I should, but talking about people getting free of drugs and alcohol, just like that. Boom. The moment God comes. You know, and if as we're here and we know the worship's getting stronger, amen, people are pressing in. His presence is coming more and more. He's going to manifest. That means make himself known, right? Hallelujah. In a more tangible way. That's what we call manifest, when we can sense it, when we see it happening before our eyes. Glory to God. You see that? People on alcohol, boom, they're free. What have you? Oh, I went down to that revival. I said, I don't need this anymore. See, you got, could you imagine that? People come down. Oh, I don't need the day center. I got a good job. I'm doing fine. I got my own place. Well, why? Well, I'm not spending on alcohol. I'm being responsible. I'm learning to follow God. Becoming a godly person and an asset to society. Hallelujah. It's part of revival. That's why I'm sharing it. That's why. It's part of revival. Hallelujah. It's not everything, but that's part of it. See, God's looking for that relationship with you. And that's something that I realized. You know what? More and more I'm realizing. He wants the heart of man. More than the miracles are wonderful. I'm not downplaying that at all. They are great, and God wants to do those. But those are the easy things. He's looking for the heart of man. Who will surrender to me? Who will give their heart? Who will give their life? Who will allow me to come in and be a father to you? Who can take you and love you and cause you to change and walk hand in hand with me, so that I can see a lost and dying world changed, and I can have sons and daughters born unto me? Because I desire that family. He wants more and more, and he puts that desire within us. You know, because we are one with him. We're in him, he's in us. If we're in him and he's in us, then his heart beats one with us. So our thoughts become more and more like his thoughts. Like Gary was talking about that, the Lord, maybe a couple months before Gary started talking about the hula hoop message, you know, where God's ways are higher than our ways. A couple months before that, the Lord began to talk to me. He said, well, will you give me your mind? And I'm just thinking, you know, I'm thinking, well, I thought I gave you my mind, Lord. I'm giving you my, you know, all my heart, all my soul, right? I love you with all my mind, all my strength, you know, I said, well, I'm not sure exactly what you mean, but okay, I love you with all my mind, Lord. I give you my mind, okay? And I thought it has something to do with maybe I need to meditate more, or maybe I need to, you know, you know, pray. Not that that's not good. We do need to meditate more. We do need to pray. We do need to seek heaven. You know, but he's just talking about the thinking, the way we actually think, becoming transformed to who he is and how he thinks. Because when people have a headache and they say, can I have an aspirin? God thinks, well, I have healing in my hands. I mean, if Jesus is here, I have healing in my hands. Would you like a miracle? He said, do you say that to people? Often. Sometimes they let me pray for them. Sometimes they don't. You know, sometimes they don't. I don't ask them. Guy said he had cancer and I just prayed for him. He said, I'm going to the doctor right now. I said, okay. Came back. He was telling me. Another lady at my work, I didn't say anything. I just prayed for her. You know, I'm not talking about long prayer. I'm talking about, thank you, Jesus, for healing her. Lord, I thank you that you're the healer. Amen. I got to go. See you. I'm working. Okay. They come to me. Well, don't you remember when you healed me? I said, what do you mean I healed you? You know, you prayed for me. Okay, that's good. You know, I know what they mean. You know, I'm not condemning anybody, you know, but she says, well, wow, you know. Then the other day she's telling me she's got something else, you know, her back was bothering her, something. Oh, we'll just take care of it right now. We'll just pray. Well, it happened again. You know, guess what? People start listening. You know, and then this time, she says, well, you know, there's a lot of things I need to get right with God. You know, I said, well, now's a good time. You know, no time like the present, right? He's been ready. He said, now is the day of salvation. Today, right now. You know, we don't want to be like the Egyptians. One more night with the frogs, right? Well, when would you like these frogs to disappear? You know, could you imagine that? Oh, my goodness. I mean, we're talking everywhere. Could you imagine? You'd be sitting on them, I imagine, you know, sleeping with them. I had to be a hard heart. Pharaoh's heart must have been really hard. You know, and that's really what the judgment's really for. For those, if you look in Revelation all the time, you know, everybody says, well, it's so horrible, but it's for those, it's only those that would not repent. Over and over, they would not repent. They were so deceived, they were like the devil, thinking they can beat God. And they can't beat God. The devil can't beat God. He was defeated. Sometimes he forgets, and we have to remind him. You were defeated. Get out of my life. Leave me alone. You're not welcome here. Wow. It really does tie in, because when we believe, we receive. See, it's based on something that's already been done. That Jesus has already won the victory. He already paid the price for every man to come to him to be saved. You know, and you've already walked, everyone that's been born again has already walked part of that path. You believed in your heart that God was, that he was going to give you something. He was going to give you what you asked for when you heard about salvation. You found out, I can be born again. Somebody said, come forward, you received Jesus. You may not recognize it with your mind, you didn't think about it all, but you believed something. You believed that God was, and that he would come and give something to you. You're going to get salvation and receive something. You see, he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. A rewarder. See, God's not a withholder, he's a giver. He gives liberally, he gives generously, he gives freely. He's a giver. Well, how do you know he's a giver? Because, number one, he said he is. James said he was. Turn to James 1. James chapter 1. Verse 5. It said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. But if you look at verse 5 here, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And then he just put a little parenthesis here. God that giveth to all men liberally. He's telling us something about God. He's saying God is a liberal giver. If you ask for wisdom, he's not going to hold it back. He's going to give to you liberally. We can see that God is a giver, you see. We must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That he's going to give to us when we ask. You see, God's a giver upon approach. When we go to him, because he can be trusted. Because he can't lie. You see, we begin to understand, oh, it's the will of God for me to be well or prosperous. Okay. Now I realize, hey, he's a liberal giver. I see all these reasons that he's willing, he wants to heal me. Now I see, oh, he's a liberal giver. When I go to God, he's going to give liberally. He's not going to withhold anything. The word wavereth is talking, not really going back and forth. It's not like that. It's more of a contention. It's more like, you know, you're not believing it at all, really. It's a contention that you're coming against it. Well, God's a giver. No, he's not. See, and that's a lot of the time, that's the problem, is that a lot of people say, hey, I know God wants me well, but will he give it to me? Will he give it to me? See, a lot of times we want to pray and we want to, because of, well, at least in America, and I'm sure around the world, every time we pray, we'd like to have an instant answer, but I'm not sure we would, because sometimes we pray for things that may not be a benefit to us. You know, ever get mad at somebody? Oh, God, you know. You know, that's a prayer too, you know. God hears all words. Hallelujah. That come from the heart. That come from the heart, I should say. Because it's based upon the heart. But we see here that God is that liberal giver. He's not the withholder. That's the kind of giver he is. And he gives when we ask. He said, whatever you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. Why would he say you're going to receive it if he's not going to give it to you? If he didn't plan on giving it to you, why would God say ask? He said, you have not because you ask not, right? Okay, we see he's a liberal giver. But anyway, that word wavereth was really talking about more of a contention. It's actually totally coming against it, saying, no, he's not. And so what I'm looking at is not so much, you know, everybody says, well, if you're wavering, if you're going back and forth, well, true. But more than that, if you're saying God's not a liberal giver, do not think you're going to receive anything from the Lord. If you can't believe, you see, you know he wants to give it to you. He said, I'll give you wisdom or whatever it is, or healing. And then Paul says he's a liberal giver. Realize he's liberal. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder. He's a giver. He's not the withholder. See, the devil's the withholder. The Bible says the thief comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he's good at. That's all he's good for. Need to kick him out, right? Hallelujah. Thank God we can. That's the good news. Okay. 1 Timothy. Let's go to 1 Timothy 6:17. We're talking about God being a giver right now. 1 Timothy 6:17. It says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth richly all things to enjoy. But to trust in the living God who is a James said a liberal giver. Timothy's saying here, he's a rich giver. He gives richly, lavishly, right? What kind of giver do we have for a father? Because he is our father. How many know fathers give, right? Fathers give a lot. They give their time, their wisdom. They give their money and a whole lot more. Give their life to their son. They look ahead. They begin to provide for things. I remember what Gary talked about. We already got the bicycle in the garage for that grandchild. God's already got your bicycle or your car or whatever you need. It's already in the garage. It's waiting for you because he's a good father. Hallelujah. And you can trust him. He's a giver. He's a liberal giver. And he's a God that is a rich giver. He gives richly. He doesn't give sparingly. You know, God's not just barely get by. He's not. I'm sorry, but I'm not saying that, you know, you might barely be getting by and it's no condemnation, but God's not a barely get by God. He'll get you by in style. Doesn't mean you have to have the best, but you're going to have enough, more than enough. Hallelujah, because he's always too much. He said our cup runs over. When the cup is full, God does not know when to stop pouring. Hallelujah. That's in every area of life. Spiritually, emotionally, primarily from him. If you got abundance of healing, when you walk by people, they'll get well. Whew. I don't know why I said hallelujah. Amen. You know, sickness goes around and people say, don't get too close. Why did they say that? Because they're afraid you might get what they got. Why? They believe that sickness can pass. Why can't health? Health can pass to you. I tell them, come on over close to me. You're likely to get well. What is wrong with you? You know, in the natural, people think, what is wrong with you? But my mind's changing, you see. Getting to start thinking like God thinks. Hallelujah. Jesus healed them all, and he wants to heal them all today through each one of us. All right. So we can see that God's liberal, he's rich, he's a giver. He's not the withholder. He's trying to get it through us for people to receive. If you can get just a moment, sometimes I'm, you know, like I said, just happened, just like that. I had a friend of mine, and I know he's not living for God. I've been talking to him, believe me. I talked to him strong several times. I said, brother, you're almost 60 years old. I said, you got to do something with your life. I said, you're just going back and forth to work. I said, you're not doing anything. You're not serving God. What's going on? You know? Well, you know, way back when, 30 years ago, I was serving God. And you know what we did? You know, my friend still calls me. Well, I said, that's wonderful. You need a good friend like that. I hope he's praying for you. You know, but you are going to have to make a decision. I said, this is your life. I said, it's going to pass by in a moment. And it doesn't matter if you're 60 or 20. I promise you, if you're 20 or 25, in a minute, you're going to be 50. Okay? It's true. I know everybody tells you that. And sometimes when you're 20, you don't think about it. Believe me. You don't think you're going to be there. And in a minute, you will. That's why we need to spend our time with God now. Amen. I love to see all the young people seeking heaven. We've got a great young people here. Hallelujah. And older people. Amen. I said, didn't say old. I said older. Now, Gary, you're just barely over 60, so you're still young. Hallelujah. You know, that's middle age, 60, right? If we're going to believe God, middle age, 60. So if you're not 60 yet, you hadn't hit middle age. That's my opinion. Well, it's really, God said we can go to 120. Now, it depends on what you're believing for. Now, listen, you may as well go for 120. If you decide to go home earlier, then just let us know and we'll let you go, okay? Hey, why not? I'm really not trying to be funny. I'm sorry. I'm tickling myself. Oh, gosh. Oh, boy. Maybe I need to go to this side. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. But God's a liberal giver. Hallelujah. He's a rich giver, isn't he? And he doesn't lack for anything. So what's the fear? What's the fear? When we have his word, you see, we can't base it on the experience. It has to be based on his word. If you ask according to his word, which is his will, it will come to pass. We can be sure. And we are in sure standing ground that we can believe, we receive when we prayed. See, we're believing for a revival, right? Didn't we ask for it? Then it's here. We're talking it every Sunday night, every Tuesday night. Thank you, Lord. Tulsa's in revival. See, not based on what we see. If we look at what we see, we know it's coming and it's here. And it'll continue to increase. It's increasing all the time. Hallelujah. Romans 8, 32. 8:32. Says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So we see that God's what? A liberal giver. He was the free giver. Hallelujah. He's going to freely. He was the rich giver. He's the free giver, isn't he? Hallelujah. Well, man, Lord, we're saying we know God's will. He wants us well. He definitely wants us well. We see it from the Old Testament to the New, from the brazen serpent to the Passover lamb, to the words of Jesus, to the actions of Jesus, to the redemption plan of God. And then we see that he's that liberal giver. He's that rich giver. Now he's the free giver. Hallelujah. Our God's good. See, when we can see who he is. That's why I think, I hear Dave a lot of times, he'll start talking about who God is. You know, he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows everything. He is love. He can't be anything else. He is that faith. It's who he is. Why? Because when you see who he is, then it's easier for you to believe you receive when you prayed. You must believe he is and that he's the rewarder, that he's the giver. He's not the withholder. And he'll give upon approach. The moment you ask, he'll start giving. He's bringing that answer right now. And then you also have ammunition now, see? When the enemy says, it's not going to happen. Oh, yes, it will. Well, how do you know? Because my father's a liberal giver. Because my father's a rich giver. Because my father's a free giver. I know he's given it to me. I asked. He said, if I ask, I can receive it. I believe that I have it. It's on the way. Now, can you have something without having it in your possession? Can you do that? Hallelujah. You can? Are you sure? No. Let's see. See what I got here. Oh, I don't have anything. Maybe I do. No, I don't. Okay. Praise the Lord. No. But if I had this wallet here, I set it here. Is that my wallet? Is that Doug's wallet? Right there. Can you see it? No, you can't see it? Okay. I'll put it up here. Everybody can see. There. Put my wallet here. Is that Doug's wallet? Is that my wallet? That's my wallet, isn't it? Yeah, but there's my wallet, but I don't have it. But it's still mine. Right? Now, what if I said, I'm going to give that wallet to Joe? Is that Joe's wallet now? But Joe doesn't have the wallet. But is it his? Why? Because I gave it to him. Right? Hallelujah. All Joe has to do is go over and get it. Go get it, Joe. It's your wallet. I'm giving it to you. I want you to give it back to me. But anyway. But that's Joe's wallet. Why could he go get it? Well, how did he know I gave it to him? Because I, what? I said it. I didn't do anything. I didn't walk over and hand it to him. I just said, this is your wallet. Go. I give it to you. And he had to go get it. Anybody ever order anything? You know, you'd ever do any mail order? Order something on the internet, you know? Well, is it yours? You paid for it. Oh, yeah. You'll say it's coming. It's on the way. Well, how do you know it's on the way? Because you asked for it. And it was paid for. Well, Jesus paid for it, and you're just asking for it. That's all you're doing. You're just asking. So you can believe you receive it, right? We're on firm ground. Hallelujah. Because we know He's a liberal giver. He's a rich giver. And here in Romans 8, it said He will freely give. Hallelujah. John 3:16, we started here. You know, we were talking about the brazen altar, which or the brazen serpent on the pole that Moses gave up there in 14. He lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave. God so loved He gave. How many know there's not much love when there's no giving? Amen. 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 Love gives. Gives time. Gives wisdom. Gives our energy. We give our mind to the Lord, don't we? Give our heart, our soul. See, that's a lot. I didn't name one thing about you having to give one dime, did I? And all those things are giving. See, giving is much more than money. Way more. Way more. Money's a simple thing. God will give you all you need. I just know it. I know it. He's a giver. You know? That's the easy part. What He's looking for is a life given to Him. See, He's a giver. He wants us to simply give that back to Him. Give ourselves to Him. He purchased us. We're bought with a price. We're not our own. We belong to Him. But when we see He's that liberal giver, He's that rich giver, He's that free giver. And here He's the God that loves, that gave, that the entire world might be free. Hallelujah. What a Father we have. Glory to God. Let's just thank Him that He's a giver. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father, that You're not a withholder, but You're a giver. You give so liberally, so freely, Lord, so richly, Lord. You gave that we all might know You, that we can receive and partake of all that You've given, Lord. We thank You for revival in Tulsa. We thank You, Father, for restored lives, Father. We thank You, Lord God, that we are givers, Lord, because You gave. We give ourselves to You first of all, Lord. We allow You to flow through us to give to a lost and dying world. We thank You, Father. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Praise You, Father. Well, glory. Hallelujah. God's a giver. He's good. He gives because He's love. And He gives because He is a Father. Hallelujah. That loves us. He wants to father each one. If there's anybody listening tonight and you don't know God, you've never received Jesus, He can become your Father tonight. Maybe you never had an earthly father, or maybe your father beat you or treated you wrong, or you felt like he did. You can have a Father that loves you. There's a Father in heaven that wants you and wants to receive you as His own. And through the Jesus Christ and through His blood alone, you can come to know God. The Bible says, whoever would call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. If you'll believe in your heart, that and confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead. You can believe that in your heart. That God, Jesus died on that cross for you. That God raised Him from the dead. And you can confess with your mouth, Jesus, be Lord of my life. I want a different life, Lord. I want to be right with You, God. I want sin out. I want Your life in. Come in, Lord Jesus. Be my Master. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Come on in, Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for saving me. Thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank You, Lord, for setting me free. Hallelujah. If you're bound by addiction tonight, thank You, Lord, that I'm delivered. Thank you, Lord, that you're working in me. You're changing me. I receive your victory. I receive your freedom. You give liberally, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Anybody here tonight, you don't pray in the Spirit, you don't pray in tongues. See, that's one major key for you to continue to walk with God. Okay? Because when you begin to pray in tongues, there's the power released within you. He said you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That power is to be a witness for God. In other words, you get to know God. And how, what's a witness? A witness is someone that has witnessed, that has seen God, that knows God. Okay? So when you begin to pray in tongues, you get to know God. Hallelujah. The more you pray in tongues, the more you get to know God. And you say, well, why are you talking so much about tongues? I thought you wanted to be filled with the Spirit. I do. But when you're filled, you begin to, you receive a language. It says that when the Holy Spirit came, what happened? They began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them the utterance or the words to say. And it's as simple as saying, God, I need that power from on high. I need the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me. I receive that. And I want to pray in those tongues. I want to pray in that supernatural language that God understands. It's not for my own mind, but it's to build me up and make me strong in my spirit to overcome anything that's trying to stop me from serving God. Hallelujah. If that's you tonight, if there's anybody here in the building or anybody that's watching, if that's you tonight, just lift your hand up. We want to pray with you. We don't want you to leave either if you need to be born again or if you want to receive the Holy Spirit. Or maybe you just walked away from God. You want to come back to God tonight. Anybody at all? If you're out here tonight, you can come to Jesus. He's going to give to you. He said, I will in no wise cast you out. Amen. Anybody that comes, anybody at all? All right. Hallelujah. Every heart's clean, right? Okay. Hallelujah.